Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to episode 36 of the Smart Marks of Wrestling podcast presented by thesportster.com. My name is Jim Parsons. We're going to be Brandon on the line with us in just a second, but we're going to be talking all sorts of things WWE and AEW related, mostly Survivor Series, which is now in the books, and NXT showed extremely well. So we're going to be chatting NXT, Survivor Series, WWE, AEW, all sorts of other good things, and before you know it, TLC is going to be on us in a few weeks. So we're going to chat all of that on this week's edition of the Smart Marks of Wrestling podcast presented by thesportster.com. Here we go. Brandon is in the middle of watching the Boston Bruins NHL hockey game, but we're going to steal him for a few minutes, take him off of Black Friday NHL action, and bring us on talking about Survivor Series, NXT TakeOver, all sorts of fun stuff. Brandon, how you doing, buddy?
Doing great. Doing great. It's a tie game as we started this, so let's see where that goes at the end.
Who are they playing?
Rangers.
Well, they should be able to win. The Rangers are terrible.
That's very true.
You would think that Boston's got this one in the bag. But anyway, let's talk all sorts of stuff. I did a little quick intro. We can remind everybody where they can hear us. Anchor.fm, thesportster.com, wrestlingwriteups.com, all your favorite podcast platforms is where you can find us, download the show, rate it, talk to us. We now do a live Facebook every Monday night after Raw, so we'll be doing one this Monday. We had lots to talk about, especially the post-Raw show for Survivor Series and TakeOver 3 War Games. What did you think of the weekend? This was a busy weekend in wrestling. What did you think?
Busy weekend and honestly really good. Like, I'm genuinely surprised at how much I enjoyed, I mean, not TakeOver. I knew I was going to enjoy TakeOver. But Survivor Series, I thought it was really good in general.
Me too. I was pleasantly surprised. I even mentioned this on the live Facebook on the Monday, was that was one of my winners for the weekend, is that typically when you watch a TakeOver, you know that nothing's going to live up to it. And while it was probably still the best pay-per-view of the weekend, better than Raw and Survivor, it was not better by a lot. You know, like, it was good.
Right.
And there was some fantastic matches, but so was Survivor Series. I agree with you 100%. That was booked very well. There were a couple dull moments. Maybe the worst part of the whole thing was the main event, which wasn't bad. It just wasn't wonderful. But the rest of it was really good. And Raw had some stupid moments, but was pretty good too. So it was good. If you're a wrestling fan and you're a WWE fan, it's a good sign because that was a strong pay-per-view. How much of that do you think has to do with NXT?
Being on the card, a lot of it.
Yeah.
Like, I would say.
How good Survivor Series was and stuff. Like, was that NXT that is why it was so good? Or, I mean, because not every match was NXT. Like, even the Mysterio Lesnar match was good. But by far, the best matches were probably those that involved NXT members.
Yeah. And I don't know if that's because, I mean, when you look at the main roster, you've got people like, I don't even know off the top of my head, that's a bad sign, but, you know, legitimate stars that can put on really good matches, right?
Oh, yeah.
Daniel Bryan, Seth Rollins, Becky, Charlotte, I'm just trying to look through the card right now, Dolph Ziggler, like, we know that these people, Shinsuke Nakamura, we know they can all put on incredible matches, AJ Styles, obviously, but then you have people from NXT who, you know, every single night put on incredible matches, whether it's at Full Sail during their regular house tapings or at War Games or at any kind of takeover they have. But that doesn't, it's not exclusive to just the current roster. That's anyone that's ever gone through NXT has looked like a superstar. So I wonder if that's part of, like, maybe Triple H taking some of the reins on the booking, or if that's really just the NXT talent, or, like, the fire they have right now, being on a main card for the first time for a lot of them, if not all of them, if that was kind of part of what took its toll there and made it such a good show. But I would say it probably came down to whoever was booking the matches that made it so big.
Yeah, it was smart. There was smart booking all the way through. I mean, the first match was the Women's Elimination Survivor Series match. That was booked magnificently. Like, it was so good the way that everybody got their spots in, the way that the match progressed, the way that it ended. And Rhea Ripley, and we could talk about her in a minute. I think she is a massive star in the making. There were a few people stood out for me. Rhea Ripley was one. Keith Lee was another. I thought Shayna Baszler did well, even though she was a little bit of a letdown in the main event, but she's a star. And Pete Dunne and Adam Cole was a fantastic match. But
we'll get to that one because
there were so many good things to come out of that. The women's match was booked really well. The men's match was booked really well. The Pete Dunne match was booked really well. I even thought the Mysterio Dominic stuff was awesome. Yeah. Like, there was just so many good decisions out of that. But to answer your question about the NXT stuff, I believe there's just a lot of factors going into that, whether it's the idea that NXT guys are learning a little differently than some of these older WWE guys are, and that's it's carrying over to the, I can't even say main roster, but to like Raw and SmackDown and stuff.
I know, that's what's throwing me off too. I was trying to go through my thoughts and I was like, I don't know how to explain this because it's not a main roster developmental situation anymore, but it still kind of is, right? Like, it's still the developmental territory in its own right, but it's not.
And you certainly, you certainly can't discount the fact that they are the underdog to most people. So that has got some buzz too, right? Like, NXT comes into any building and fans go crazy for them because they're the underdog, right? So you have that going on. You've got a different style of performer. You've got guys that are learning. You've got guys that are hungry. Like you mentioned it, I even asked that question on Twitter. I'm like, how the heck do you put on a takeover, have a spot like Tommaso Ciampa and Adam Cole did off that cage, and then come right back the next night and do it all again and have the same fire and same hunger? And I asked people, I said, can you actually do that? Can you be a performer, go out that hard on one night, and then do it again and go out that hard on the next night? And I'm thinking, these guys are going to have to do that because this is the biggest platform they're ever going to have. Yep. This is Survivor Series, the biggest showing that they've been on to date for most of them. You better be as good as you were the night before because everybody's watching. Right. So, and they did. They were really good. I mean, Adam Cole and Pete Dunne you would think Adam Cole would be barely moving, but he was awesome. So, yeah, they're in great shape in terms of NXT. The question will be whether or not any of these people move. And there's a rumor that Baszler might move, but I don't know why you'd do that anymore with NXT not anything but its own brand on its own television network. Why would
against the other top show right now, right? You want to have some kind of representation there.
And they, to me, they were clearly the better show this week. Like, I watched I watched Dynamite outside of the opening segment with Jericho, which was funny. he brought his dad out and they were doing the celebration stuff. I thought the rest of the show was not good. I just didn't enjoy it. And NXT was much better. And I don't know, the ratings were delayed because of American Thanksgiving. I'm not sure if they came out yet, but I'd be shocked if NXT didn't win the ratings this week.
Which, I mean, it's tough because even if you have a bad show, you can still win the ratings because one week, like, right, like, some people aren't going to change the channel. They're going to hope it gets better. But I see what you're saying. So even if they didn't win the ratings, I think it's fair to say that NXT had the better show.
Yeah. Well, NXT is coming off the buzz of being in Survivor Series and people who may not have known that show before. And I don't know how many that there are of those people, but they do now. If they were WWE fans and they watched their weekend, they know how good NXT can be. You'd think some of those people would tune into it. So you'd have to imagine their ratings would go up.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of factors there because if people didn't know about it, maybe they still don't know. But ideally, if you watch both WWE and AEW, you got a really good show this week and saw what NXT is and why you should be watching that as well. Because, I mean, I saw even like Twitter headlines where it was just people apparently were freaking out about Keith Lee. And this is a regular occurrence, right? Like, everything he does is normal on NXT television. But people don't realize it because they may still see it as, like, you know, the classic FCW, OVW stuff where it's just developmental and not realize that this is a whole brand and this is arguably the best brand of the show and it has been of the company, I should say, and it has been for a long time now. Like, you can look back at even the build up for this. We've seen Adam Cole in the Undisputed Era right now, the faces of the company, right? The face of NXT. You've got Ciampa and Gargano. Before them, you've had Owens, Shinsuke, Seth Rollins, all these people that you watch now were the faces back then. And this is how long NXT has been on top. And I would say Finn Balor is when it really started to take its peak and got to where it is now. But it hasn't missed a step when he left. And you've got guys like I said, Samoa Joe was on top for a while with Shinsuke. Then you had Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano, which is probably the best storyline ever in the history of NXT. I don't know how anything could ever top that because it was so emotional from beginning to end. And I mean, it's still not even over, right? Like, they still bring it up from time to time and, like, make it a very obvious, it's an easy reaction if you need it, an easy pop. So NXT is brilliant, and we're starting to see, that talent really showcase their ability more, and they haven't missed a beat. They haven't failed to step up. I would say AEW as well. Like, since they've started, they really haven't missed a beat. They maybe had a poor show on Wednesday comparatively, but even then, their poor shows are still better than the worst Raws and SmackDowns we've seen by a large margin.
Yeah,
so it's nice to see new competition.
Yeah, I agree with some of that, and some of it I'm like, hey. Sometimes I watch AEW and I see shades of WCW. Like,
yeah, I see a lot of shades of WCW.
There's really some good stuff. Like, the stars are well positioned and they do a lot of really good matches in the main events. Mm-hmm. But then there's always, on a 2-hour show, there's always at least one match that you're like, geez, this was thrown together. Like, this is a bunch of nobodies that no one has learned about or cares about. And it just feels like a WCW match that was thrown on there to fill TV time. And it's kind of like, oh, dude, don't be doing that. But outside of that, I've thought the shows were pretty good. Yeah, I agree with you. And we'll talk about it in a second. This Wednesday, I think they dropped the ball a bunch. But yeah, no. What was your standout? I mean, is it Lee? Is it Ripley? Is it Baszler? Is it Adam Cole? Who was your NXT standout this weekend?
For the full weekend?
Yeah, like the person who showed the best. Like, you knew he was a star already, or maybe wasn't a star but is now. Just that person who was like, there was an opportunity there. There's more than one answer to this, but there was a person there that is like,
there are so many.
They grabbed that opportunity, seized it, and they are now on their way to being a massive star. Is there one that stands out for you?
I mean, I've got a bunch on the top of my head. Like, Pete Dunne always looks so good, but I know he's going to put on great matches. Same for Adam Cole. I mean, Rhea Ripley and Keith Lee have to be the two for me that just, they really looked bigger than they've ever been. As far as, like you said, grabbing the brass ring, so to speak, mm-hmm. we know Adam Cole and Pete Dunne are great. We know they're, I mean, Pete Dunne's probably the best wrestler they have on the roster outside of Daniel Bryan. Like, he is so incredible. Every match he's in, I know he's small, right? He's very small. But if you put him in a match with Brock Lesnar, I once thought that would be ridiculous looking. I'm starting to believe more and more you can make a match like that work. I don't know how, but Pete Dunne is so good and so technical. And the gimmick is so good that I can see it working. But again, we already know that he always outdoes himself. So if you have Rhea Ripley and Keith Lee, who, Rhea Ripley is, what, 23 years old? She's younger than I am.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy to me.
Yeah, she's going to be huge. She'll be mad. And for me, the winner is Adam Cole. Not because he wasn't already a star, but because now everybody knows how much of a star that guy is. Like,
although they muted his audio for his entrance or something. It was really...
He is going to be so marketable. Like, between the Bay Bay stuff and people chant along and his promos are good, and he's working his way out of the conversation of the fact that he's too small. I mean, you talk about a guy who's too small and say Pete Dunne, but the knock on Cole, and it's not really a knock, it's just that big guys say this about him, is that he's too small to be believable. But those matches that he had and the way that he performed this weekend and over and over and over and over again, and when you go back and you look at SmackDown and Raw when they helped out, and then he had a full week and a half where he was just going, and nobody sees it better than him. Like, he just was so good, and he is clearly the face of that brand. And if they move him, he's now established himself to be a believable player on any brand he's on, even though he's small. So I thought, yeah, Keith Lee, Rhea Ripley, they did great. Pete Dunne was good. Roderick Strong was good. I mean, there were so many good performances.
All of them. They were all so good. Well, yeah. The issue for me is that I always am going to see Cole as just a superstar, like, even before he ever got to WWE. So it's hard for me to look at him and say that, like, because we have this in professional sports as well, where if a coach is expected to do well every year, like, the team's expected to do well, so, like, Bill Belichick, the New England Patriots, or, like, but, you know, it's a funny topical thing, but Mike Babcock with the Detroit Red Wings for so many years, they don't really get the credit as coach of the year because people expect them to be that good. So for Adam Cole, for me, I expect him to be this good. So this is just par for the course. He always blows me away. But yeah, I mean, the easy answer for me is Adam Cole every time. Yeah. He's unbelievable. And like you said, I think he's probably maybe the top star in wrestling right now. Even if people don't want to acknowledge that, I don't think anyone is doing a better job carrying their show than Adam Cole does on NXT. But it's also hard to say that because the Undisputed Era is so good, because Pete Dunne, Keith Lee, Tommaso Ciampa, all these guys are so good. And then, I mean, even like we said, Rhea Ripley is incredible. Candice LeRae is really... I like how they don't really market her as Johnny Gargano's wife when we see her on the main roster. Like, she is Gargano's wife, and they talk about it. but they let her be her own entity. And really, I mean, she does it her part and she looks incredible. And I think she's grown a lot over the last couple of years. Io Shirai, Toni Storm.
Io Shirai was really good too.
It's all weekend.
She was, yeah. Oh my gosh, she was good. Yeah. The only downside for me in all the, I mean, let's leave it at we both agree NXT was the highlight of the weekend. But the downer is this Mauro Ranallo stuff. Maybe we should touch on that a little bit. He was great on TakeOver, which we expect him to be because he's so emotional and he brings so much to every match. But then there was a tweet by Corey Graves during that show that didn't actually mention Ranallo's name, but said, yes, folks, there are other people on the broadcast or something to that effect.
It was like there's a Hall of Famer and like a former Ring of Honor right, world champion. The
which
thing,
basically yeah. was saying, hey, Ranallo, let somebody pipe else talk. Yeah. Right? And he took that poorly, and partially because he's got this mental disorder they talks about all the time, and bipolar and all this other thing, and he just deleted his Twitter account. And then Graves, you know, who I thought it was dumb to do, and I think a lot of people do dumb stuff on Twitter, but just he didn't actually try to hurt the guy's feelings. I think he just criticized, and he was starting something, and maybe they could use it in a little battle of the brands and all that other, and it went sideways quickly. And Ronaldo deleted his Twitter account and did not show up on NXT on Wednesday. And now they're saying he's in pretty rough shape and he might not be there. And Frank Shamrock showed up backstage and threatened everybody and all this other stuff. Like it got ugly in a hurry, and Graves apologized on his podcast. What do you make of that? Like, is this one of those things where you can't harp on Ronaldo too hard because you know he's going through stuff. You know he's got this bipolar thing and he's whatever, but if this was anybody else who didn't have that, you'd kind of be like, dude, like, toughen up a little bit, right? Like, he didn't really actually say your name. He made a comment that we all, like, is that your take, or are you kind of like, Graves, what the hell, dude? Like, why would you do that? Especially knowing that Ronaldo's got this that he's dealing with, and that he might be touchy when you're talking about that stuff. Like, where do you sit with all that?
I don't really know why Graves has to be so controversial all the time outside of like his on-air stuff, right? Like, we know his character and everything, but he, for some reason, for all the funny and good that Graves does, he just seems to be kind of a jerk sometimes. And I don't think he is a jerk. I just think it's, you know, sometimes he comes off and he has an opinion and it's just a weird one. That said, I don't think the tweet was that bad at all. I think it was just whatever. So I think maybe this, I mean, on the surface, it looks like an overreaction. That being said, because Mauro has this background, and we also don't know, like, what the conversations they've had, you know, privately or even publicly that, like in front of other people, we don't know the full story, so it's hard to really say that he's being too sensitive about it. And sensitive is not a good word, because you're allowed to have feelings and feel that kind of stuff, but at the same time, it was just a tweet. But yeah, again, sometimes things hit people differently, so I'm not gonna say that he's wrong for doing all this.
Yeah,
but at the same time, it's a touch situation.
Yeah, from what I understand, I mean, people are obviously trying to support Ronaldo, but right, they're on the side of Corey Graves here. Like, WWE is firmly in his corner going, dude, we get it. Like, apologize, but we don't think what you did was that bad. It wasn't any different than everybody else in this locker room is doing on a regular basis to each other. And that's the kicker here, right? Is like, you look at tweets from Lynch and Rollins and all these other people, they're just bashing the crap out of each other all the time. And that's just part of the deal now in this business.
That's a gimmick, too. A lot of it's just storyline. Like, when it's, like, Edge and, like, Beth Phoenix and Becky Lynch, there's no way they're not, like, texting each other outside of it and being like, oh, that's kind of a funny jab there. Right? Like, they're just having fun with it.
But I'm just not sure if he knows how to separate the two. And that's unfortunate, because it would really suck if he didn't come back. And they keep saying he's gonna, but he hasn't yet. And it sounds like he's nowhere near it. So, I don't know. I mean, it's tough, but if I posed this question on Facebook on the Sportster page today, and it already has over 200 comments in just a couple hours, but if you had to pick one, and it sucks if we have to, but who would you prefer to have around, Corey Graves or Mauro Ranallo?
Oh boy. Mauro Ranallo, just because I think he really is synonymous with NXT, but that's a tough one.
Yeah.
I don't know. Corey Graves is fine. I don't think he's anything super special, but I think he's the best color commentator they have right now on the main roster anyway. I think Nigel's the best they have, but at the same time...
Well, and part of the reason that I like Graves, I think Graves does some silly stuff, and when I watch his Twitter account, I wonder why he makes comments, and then he acts all offended and removes his account, or he says he's going to go off Twitter, but then the next day he's back on it again, and he's very, like, up and down and whatever, but that guy... may work more than anyone else in WWE. Like, he ran both shows for a while. He does a podcast. He's on, you know, other things.
Network specials, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That guy is everywhere. Like, he is constantly working. And if you lose that, that's a big loss. Like,
yeah, I love Graves. Let me I think Graves is a really good character, and I think he does his job well.
Right. And so, I love...
When I said I pick Moro, it was specifically because I think he's so important in NXT. Sure. But that being said, I agree with you.
And that's why I like Ranella too, is that he's synonymous for it. He makes the show better to watch. I just wonder, and it sucks to say this, and I do not mean to discount people who have, you know, bipolar disorders and things like that, is that a thing that WWE is going to constantly have to deal with and go, dude, if you say anything around this guy, he may disappear.
That's the thing. It wasn't a huge jab. It wasn't like, yeah, he didn't specifically call him out or yell at him in person. He didn't bully him like JBL does. He made a tweet. But that's why, like, it almost seems there has to be more than just one tweet. But, like, if there isn't, then, yeah, that's kind of ridiculous. If it is just that tweet, then, I mean, sorry, Moro, but that's, I mean... It's life, unfortunately.
My point is that for Ranallo, if that's all that it was, it's only going to get worse, right? Oh, like, this is an industry now where everybody uses social media and everybody uses everything to say, I mean, he's going to find that this gets bumpy along the way and people are going to critique him. Like, it's just, you can't be in a position like that where you're such a public figure and doing a job that people will sometimes love and sometimes hate and not get criticized for it. And if you do, and every time it happens, you kind of go off the deep end and disappear, well, man, it's going to be long haul for him. So I feel really bad for him. Like, I can't even imagine going through what he goes through. And I do not mean at all to discount anything like that.
Yeah, it's a tough topic to talk about. But I think it's very clear we both acknowledge that it's a legitimate thing. And it's probably worse than physical injuries in 99% of situations, right? Maybe concussions are worse or like... you know, terminal injury and stuff. But as far as this goes, like, I mean, this is always with you. If you're always in your own head, it's tough and anything can set it off. So we can't speak to what he's feeling.
But I guess what I'm saying is that I just really feel bad for him because I don't know enough about it, but I do seem to think that, man, this is going to be challenging for him. And you don't want anyone to suffer, right? Like, if this is constantly something he's going to be suffering from, well, that sucks for a guy, right? And you don't want him to have to go through that. So, anyway, yeah, we'll move on. That was Survivor Series was awesome. TakeOver was really good. Raw was pretty good. I don't know what else we should really kind of chat about. Let's talk about AEW for a minute because we have ignored it a lot this weekend. That's expected, though, right?
After a pay-per-view weekend?
Sure. Yeah, and there hasn't been a ton of news, to be honest, coming out of AEW. But the biggest news, I suppose, on Wednesday, which was also probably the weirdest, was the debut of the Blade, the Butcher, and the Bunny. What's your first take on that?
My first take on that is Andy Williams is an AEW. And for those that don't know, that's one of the guitarists for the metalcore band Every Time I Die. So that made me very happy, personally speaking. I'm a very big
like their look. I hated their debut because it didn't make any sense.
I was able to look past it.
Like, I guess I know why they did it with Cody, but Cody's like in the middle of a program with MJF, so all of a sudden he's now not, or he still is, but he's got these guys who attacked him kind of for no reason, unless they're trying to make some loose association to Allie and Brandi Rhodes, which happened where she cut her hair, you know, a couple weeks ago or whatever it was. Like, just sort of like weird. And they come out from under the ring. He's wearing a mask. Nobody knows who this guy is anyway. So what's the point of the mask?
Yeah.
And then he pulls it off and still nobody knows who. I mean, it was the deadest the AEW crowd has ever been. Right. And it just, they never explained it. And the weirdest part for me was Excalibur tried to play it off like everyone should have known who they were.
I know. It was the weirdest
thing. Right. Like, and Jim Ross is like, who? Like, they're like, the Blade, the Butcher. They're like, who? Like, nobody knows except for Excalibur, and nobody's in on the secret, right? It's like, this is weird. But, so they'll have to explain it, right? It reminded me of when the Dark Order debuted and these guys, but at least that was somewhat entertaining. You're like, well, who are these dudes? Like, it was weird, right? There's a little bit of that going on here, but when Excalibur says, oh yeah, this is the Blade, the Butcher, like, we should know who that is. We're like, nobody knows who that is. The Blade guy, I guess, what was his name? He was in Impact for a while, but, you know, and Allie was the brunette on the roster, so I guess there's some of that going on, but yeah, it was just really weird.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was just a fun moment, but I agree, it's like anything. AEW does a really good job in making a really poor job in some ways, where they do make a decision. And you're like, well, this is kind of weird. And then like a week later, they explain it. You're like, oh, okay, well, the explanation is fine, but it's kind of weird without it. Like, you kind of need the 2 week promo together to really put it into a really sensible promo, I guess.
Yeah, and I mean, in their defense, I guess if you're going to be grabbing a bunch of indie guys, the majority of the public does not know who they are, you're going to face that challenge every week. You're going to have to figure out how to explain who these guys are, mm-hmm. and so you're going to have to deal with some of that. But I guess it would have been nice to do it the other way, like tease something of some character maybe showing up next week, and then they show up, right? This was the mm-hmm. other way around, so it was kind of weird. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I thought the MJF Cody stuff is good. I'm glad that they've got a few. I think that's going to be awesome. The Diamond Ring thing was good. Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. The official stuff is still happening, like the missed pins and the crazy calls and the.
Yeah, I don't like the. I'm not crazy about the officials or really. JR is so good. Excalibur is just so not good. I don't. I'm not a fan.
Well, and I don't. I mean, they said this. They said this week why Tony Schiavone wasn't there, but it's obvious when he's not there that there's a massive difference in the quality of the broadcast. Like,
especially with the chemistry and JR have together.
He really rounds out that for sure. So I guess the only other real thing to cover here in the news that's kind of been on the topic of a lot of conversation here lately, and it's more of a fun topic than anything else. I guess there's two things that I should bring up. One, there's a rumor today and some news that Brock Lesnar will not be on television again until 2020.
I mean, what do you think about that? That's a month. I don't really care. It's not like saying it like that.
Except that he's the champ.
Yeah, but you can. Yeah,
it's right. Brock Lesnar. Now you're right back to the situation where your champion isn't on TV for a month.
Like, I mean, yeah,
that's an issue, isn't it?
Maybe. Maybe if he wasn't,
the champ, I wouldn't.
Yeah, I've always said like that too. If he's not champion, he should never be there every week. But at the same time, we're just kind of used to him not being there. And he's been there a lot, to be fair, as of late. So it's not like this is a regular thing that we've seen. It's 1 month. It's the first time in a while where he really hasn't been on TV as the champion. So I'm kind of okay with it. Yeah, but,
he has been around a lot.
Maybe they can afford the year.
Yeah, no kidding. They brought that. I just had to ask. And then the other one, which was really kind of silly but kind of funny, is have you been watching the Dana Brooke Batista stuff?
Yes. So I haven't been. My friend has been, and he updates me very regularly about what's going on, and I think it's very funny.
Oh my gosh, it's pretty funny. It's like Tinder on Twitter, but I'm assuming now that there's some sort of relationship going on there. But pretty funny. I mean, Batista's one angle of a camera away from showing everybody everything. So it's kind of like, oh man, this is getting interesting. But it's like watching a car crash. You're like, oh, I shouldn't be watching this, but you can't help but watch it. It's just, it's interesting. But yeah, he starts with this tweet, oh, I'm single now. And then it turns into what it is now. It looks like they're together. So very interesting to see how people use, talk about using Twitter and Corey Graves and stuff. Well, this was used for the exact opposite reason or something like that. These guys developed a relationship out of it. So very interesting. Anyway, we got TLC coming on like 2.5 weeks. Like, it just got off a crazy weekend of NXT pay-per-view and Survivor Series, and before you know it, we're gonna have TLC.
Yeah,
I don't think there's any matches announced yet, but I am curious to see if there's any involvement with whoever is going to show up on the Firefly Funhouse tonight. You got any predictions?
They're
promoting a brand new character for tonight's SmackDown. If you want to venture a guess as to who we might be talking about?
I have no idea. I don't even know if it's anyone we know. Maybe it's
It
could be, what's her name? Lover.
Liv Morgan. Yep, that's my pick. Yep, that's my pick.
I don't know why all of a sudden, no clue. Wait a second. I've got my number one guess immediately.
I wrote an article like in September that there was some clues that maybe that was going on. And then I think it's fake, but there's a tweet or something that made its rounds with somebody sketching a dress for what is a human that might be part of this thing. So it's not necessarily a puppet. It's probably going to be a puppet. Like, who are we kidding? Right? We're putting all this extra thought into it. It's probably just another puppet. But
Well, that's why I didn't want to venture a guess at all. But I mean, it could be Liv Morgan. It could
wouldn't
be.
Wouldn't that be awesome, though?
It would be, yeah.
Oh, well, he's so good.
I mean, maybe. To be fair, everything that's happened to the Firefly Funders has been tremendous. So it probably will be good. But it's also still WWE. So at some point, it's going to, you know, the other shoes.
Yeah, but dude, like, I honestly believe that he is running most of that.
It doesn't like matter. That, at some point, something's not going to land.
Yeah, something won't, but I think she's good. I think she's super talented, and nobody knows it yet. So it'll be interesting to see what's going on. But anyway, I'm looking forward to that. That's the only reason I'm going to watch the show tonight. Other than that, I want to be able to say that, you know, something good came out of it, and there's more than just a puppet going on here. But anyway, I'll let you get back to the Boston Bruins game. We'll keep things short and sweet for this week because we basically we're just talking about a pay-per-view that's already come and gone. But yeah, we'll bring it back on next week. We'll chat maybe a little bit more about TLC because maybe we'll have an idea as to what's going on there and who's fighting who. Obviously, there won't be a WWE Championship match, but we'll see.
Yeah, that sounds good, man. To me.
I appreciate it. Enjoy the game. Hopefully the Bruins win, and I will talk to you next week.
I never hear that. Thank you. The Bruins win part.
If they were playing the Oilers, I wouldn't be saying that to you.
That's fair. If they were playing the Oilers, I'd probably still win. But
yeah.
Now it's really good start to the season, but that's a whole different discussion. Yeah.
Now we're trash talking. All right, man. Okay. I'll talk to you next week.